guys who always heed the no firearm sign at the local Tex-Mex restaurant. It's Joe and Ken, the Mac Texans.
Thank you so much, Catfish. Hey, why don't you sit down on this show with us? Greetings from the great state of Texas. Welcome to Mac Texan Podcast number 13, lucky 13 for Halloween week. Hi, I'm Joe Kelly.
And I'm Ken Mitchell.
And joining us today is the Catfish. She hates when I call her that, so I won't do it again. But just so you'll know, I've been doing the intro every week using that. So anyway, my lovely daughter, Catherine. How are you, Catherine?
Good. Hi.
Hey, Catherine.
Okay, guys. Man, we missed last week, Ken. So, things just got piled up on me. What do you say we dive right in, starting with last week's press event that both you and I watched, but for various and sundry reasons, we didn't get a chance to record last week. So just for my refreshment and everyone else's, what do you think about hitting the highlights of that press event?
I think that's a great idea, but I do want to make one quick note. If they didn't see it, they can see it on our broadcast. We have it at MacTexan.com.
Yep. Just go to MacTexan.com/TV, and it is one of the we recorded that. It's one of the video streams. So all you'll have to do is put up with our lower thirds that does our advertising on the bottom, but you can see the whole thing there. And just a secret, you can also see it on Apple's website. But we would prefer you do it with us. Anyway. Okay. Getting started. The press event last Wednesday was muchly anticipated by the Technorati, myself included, and it was not a disappointment. The only disappointment was it took a little bit long, according to my way of thinking, to get to the meat of it. And Apple does that every time, don't they? They got to talk about the business and then talk about the photo and do the demos while everybody's sitting around tapping their foot saying, come on, get us to the one more thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
But.
Go ahead.
They gave us good stuff.
Yes, they did. I mean, there was a lot of meat in this announcement. So they started off talking about the business. And I don't remember all these VPs that got up there and danced in front of us, with the exception of Schiller doing his iPhoto thing. But only 33% of Apple's revenue comes from the Mac. Now, this event was titled Back to the Mac, so we had an inkling that it was going to be about the Mac, which is refreshing to a lot of people. I know we call ourselves the Mac Texans, but here of late, we could call ourselves the Pad Texans or something, the way we've been going on about these iPads. But it just goes to show you, only a third of Apple's money comes from the Mac these days. So although it is good to see that they have cracked the 10% of PC sales are now Macs, which is a first that I can remember. How about you?
It's the first time I remember, but I have to tell you, I wasn't surprised that only a third of their income came from the Mac. I was surprised that the Mac was a third income. I figured it was a lot less. That between the iPhone and the iPad, which we're not going to talk about today, I thought those were the really biggies. You know?
Yeah. Well, they sell a bazillion iPhones, and they're talking that there's going to be like 10 million iPads sold. But anyway, I guess you're right. But anyway, 33% of Apple's revenue is from the Mac. I was thinking, though, there's such, one iMac, you can buy, how many iPhones and how many iPads? I would just think that the margins were so much bigger that perhaps more of their revenue would come from the Mac. But I guess you were right and I was wrong. However, something else they did mention is, although Macs are only 10% of the market, they are number one in customer satisfaction. And that's according to PC World, JD Power. So Apple's doing something right, even though a lot of people are complaining that they're ignoring the Mac. If ignoring it gets them a number one customer satisfaction rating, I guess they're doing it right, huh?
Oh, you bet. And if you owned a Mac, if you've had anything to do with Apple, you already knew all that.
Yeah, well.
It's new folks that did.
Yeah. And speaking of new folks, half of the Macs they're selling are going to new users, people that have never owned a Mac before. That
well, are you surprised?
Well, you know, look, there's a lot of us fanboys out there that keep just keep writing checks and swiping plastic at the Apple store. You know, it's been this way for a while that, you know, evidently the switcher community is alive and well. You know, half of the people that go in and buy and walk out with a Mac have never owned one before. But that explains why we're the Apple market share in the U.S. anyway is creeping up over 10%. So,
well, let me tell you one quick thing that happened to me. I was right after this event, I went to the mall that had the gallery that had the Apple store in it, and I went to the Apple store, and of course, the Apple store's packed, and there's people in there, and we've talked that a bunch of times. But at the meantime, I was waiting for my wife, and below, I was up several stories up, and you could look down, and below me, there was an Android phone place.
Yeah.
Nobody was there.
Yeah.
You know what? Even the people that were working that booth, and it was a really nice booth, they had a little dog show down wall from it, and a bunch of people were down there, and the people that were running the booth of the Android thing, they were all down there.
Yeah.
Nobody well, he was stopping to look at it.
Well, you know, and maybe it's a scarcity thing. You know, there's how many in all of the greater Houston area, there's what, 4 Apple stores, okay? And Houston's a big metroplex. Right. But I mean, you can't throw a rock without hitting some place that sells an Android phone, right? I mean, they're everywhere. Every you know, cell carrier, Walmart, Best Buy. I mean, there's a lot of places to get them. Catherine, you got an iPhone. Do many of your friends at school have iPhones, or do any of them have Androids?
No, it's just mostly smaller phones, not iPhones or Androids.
Not smartphones, just feature phones?
Mostly.
Just for everyone's reference, my daughter is in the 6th grade. I was happy to let her rock one of my older iPhones, and you know, she's doing a good job with it. As a matter of fact, the other day we lost track of it, and she knew exactly how to go to her Mobile Me account and click on the Find My iPhone button. That's how she could tell me where it was.
Atta girl.
So she's all over it, man. She's got her MacBook Pro now, and she was my third daughter to be converted. And now we still got Windows machines around the house. Don't get me wrong, but her personal machine is a MacBook Pro, and now I have just like your family, Ken. Everyone in my family is a Mac user except my wife, and so that accounts for what? There's 4 switchers right there. So.
That's right. Hey, and I had 2 switchers over the week. I went to one of the times I went to the Mac store was to a friend of mine that I converted, and he bought an iMac and he bought an iPad.
Do you see a time when it gets to critical mass and these percentages go from 10% and jump to maybe 20%?
I don't know. I will tell you one thing. It's kind of exciting right now. Remember back in the old PC days when things were changing so rapidly? Boy, it's right here with it right now. We're back to it.
Yeah, it's hard. It really is hard to predict. And, you know, I was happy to see Apple with this last press event stressing the Mac simply because I was beginning to wonder if they were even paying attention to it. I mean, over the last couple of years, it's just been iPhone, iPod Touch, iPad, and then back around again. But even with this press release, and we'll get into this later, they were talking about incorporating some of the more popular features of the iPad into OS X. So anyway, I'm going to move on. We're spending a lot of time on this. One of the things they announced was a new iLife, and we'll talk more about that next week. I just got my copy yesterday, and they've updated iPhoto. One of the things they're stressing with all the new Mac apps are the full screen modes. Now, if you use some of their pro apps like I use, like Aperture and Logic, of course, Final Cut, those things have had full screen mode built in. But it looks more and more like they're going to be incorporating that, in at least Apple is, into their software titles. They've done it with iPhoto. They're doing it with iMovie and GarageBand. So as long as they give me the choice not to be in full screen mode, I don't know about you, man, but I like to have my browser up and my Twitter feed and wink in on my Facebook page every now and then while I'm doing other things. It's a rare occasion for me when I need something full screen taking up my whole Mac, especially this big 27 inch.
I agree. I'm kind of the same way. I multitask on mine quite a bit too. Hey, I want to make one note. And that was during that announcement, one of the things that I really did enjoy was Jobs talking about how on the new Macs, why they didn't, you know, most people thought that it was going to be a touch screen.
Yeah.
And why a touch screen would work and how they had worked on that. I thought that was interesting that he brought that up.
Well, and he's always been against the touchscreen he's always been against a vertical touchscreen, believing that touch is unnatural in a vertical position, that the iPad and even the Apple case that comes with an iPad, when I'll hold this up, when you fix that case, like it puts it like in a flat spot where it's just barely elevated enough to where you can see the screen. And they don't stand it in a vertical position to do all the touch stuff on. But, you know, evidently, Steve knows what's best. And another thing is, like we talked about in earlier shows, man, I don't want to be cleaning a 27-inch screen from somebody's greasy fingerprints all over it. So
that's true.
Anyway, and I've got one of these Magic Trackpads. Multi-touch is obviously in their future. So the full screen mode and multi-touch is becoming, you know, after I've used the iPad a while, I'll get on my iMac or on my laptop and I've got this urge to touch the screen, you know, because I'm so used to doing it on the iPad.
I do that.
So anyway, it looks like there's a major shift in the way, and we'll get into that more when we talk about the new OS X, but a major shift in their approach to presenting user interfaces. So I'm not going to go into all the details about the new apps other than, you know, they're touting printing new photo books and these new letterpress cards in iPhoto. I don't know that's ever been a big thing for them. I know I've never had sent anything to them to be printed.
No, I never did either.
Quoting on what you said earlier, talking about cleaning the screen, a while back I'd seen a couple of commercials for it, a computer that was touchscreen, and all I could think about, especially me being a kid, I would hate having one of those because the whole time, every 5 seconds, you know, I'd be wiping it off because you wouldn't be able to see anything, especially with light behind it.
Yes. Well, I can tell by looking at my iPad when you got done with it what kind of shape your computer screen would be in if it were a touch screen. But I'm guilty too, man. I mean, I got just as greasy of chops as anybody. And especially after when I get finished wiping down my iPad and getting it nice and clean, every now and then I'll try to touch it with my knuckle just so I don't get any fresh prints on it.
Well, hey, I'm going to tell you one other thing. An iPad is kind of personal. Those touch screens are kind of personal. You figure if you have a bunch of people touching that thing, man, they've all wiped their nose and everything else. And
hey, man,
that thing could actually be dangerous.
Now, this is going back, and I won't dally on this too long, but when I was working for the oil company that you're familiar with, we were the first in our circuit to get a new Honeywell control system, and it had 8 screens, and they were all touch screens. And I swear, sometime I would come in and I was working the board and I would sit at the console, and I swear sometimes when I come in, the person before me looked like they had used a chicken leg from KFC to touch the screen with. It was the nastiest thing I've ever seen. And you know, I think it's just one more part of the equation why, you know, Jobs is going to keep fingers off the screen whenever possible on the Mac and keep it to the trackpad. They've done a real great job. They started with this latest model MacBook Pro, and with all the multi-touch stuff, and now they've got the Magic Trackpad that you can connect to any Mac that gives right. you full use of all the new motions and gestures and things. Something else, talking about that, almost everyone up there, whether it was Schiller talking about iPhoto or this other guy talking about iMovie, they used the term flick a lot. Like in full screen mode where you're flicking things left and right. And that's sort of the way you change screens is by flick. And I'd never heard him use that before. But anyway, we got a new iMovie, a new GarageBand. The GarageBand I thought was kind of interesting because they've got some things in there called FlexTime and Groove Matching, which basically are tools to make somebody that sounds like total crap. It makes your timing right and it changes the pitch when you're on your singing and you're playing so everything sounds good. To me, that's almost like cheating, right?
I don't know. You heard some. I can't talk. I don't want to get sued by a big artist. So,
well, look, nobody's going to sue us.
I'm
but
not a
I mean,
GarageBand user though. So, but I do think GarageBand is an incredible application if you start using it.
Well, you know, I started out recording podcasts with GarageBand.
Is that right?
Yeah, and it does a really good job. But then, you know me, I mean, they've got a professional app for that. So, you know, what do? I spend the $500 on Logic Pro. You know, I don't regret it. It's but it's probably I'm swatting flies with a sledgehammer, you know.
I hear you.
Anyway, and of course we got the new. It was announced the new FaceTime for Mac. And one thing that I thought was interesting with that FaceTime announcement was Jobs pointed out that so far there are 19 million FaceTime devices in the wild. That's new iPod touches, iPhone 4, and that didn't include the Macs at all. So that's a lot of devices with FaceTime installed.
That's right. And if you've ever used FaceTime, you know that it works wonderful. It is a great application.
Yep.
I use it some when I'm in a Wi-Fi area. I really like it.
It'll get a lot better when they and we whip this horse too. I mean, it'll get a lot better once they get it on 3G. Well, at least now there's Tango we can do on 3G. Anyway, we'll get off of that. The next thing they announced was they gave us sort of a sneak peek of the new version of OS 10, 10.7, and the big cat name is Lion. Steve prefaced the entire announcement by had a Mac at the top of the screen showing how they'd gone from the Mac to the iPhone to the iPad, and learned things along the way, and then coming full circle back to the Mac. And all of that was about the new features in 10.7, from what I heard, are mainly user interface changes with multi-touch gestures and, of course, the full screen apps that you can flick around. But they've got a new they sort of pumped up expose, and they're calling it Mission Control, which is an easy way to see everything you've got running, and an easy way, easier than expose, it looks to me, to switch between active applications. But the real interesting one was the one they call Launchpad, which to me, it looks like they're just throwing an iPad interface with all the icons up on top on your desktop of your Mac. So anyway, jump in here anytime you want, Ken.
Not a problem. You're doing a great job. I was impressed by that myself. I don't have a whole lot to say. I will say one thing: when they also introduced the 11 and 13 inch MacBook Air, which I know I'm a little ahead of myself.
Yep, that was the one more thing. One thing before we get to the new Airs, a biggie that Windows has always done, at least Office has, but it's built into the kernel of the application layer, at least of the operating system, is autosave and auto resume. Windows has always made that a lot easier to do. It's one thing I missed and one thing I noticed when I moved to the Mac, that my Pages documents didn't automatically save, and my Keynote stuff, I'd be working on a presentation and close it down. Well, when you went back to it, the same file, it would open up on the front page again, you know. So they're going to incorporate autosave and auto resume into their apps. Now, one thing I forgot to mention before that, they're going to open an app store for the Mac, just like an app store for the iPhone.
I forgot about that too. That was one of the bigger things.
Now,
the app store for the Mac, that is, that's going to be a big change.
Yeah. And I don't know if I like it or not. I mean, we've had a week to let this simmer and let me think about it. In a lot of ways, I love the concept. It sure makes things handy. One of my biggest problems continually is keeping apps updated. And when you got a lot of apps, you know, I'll open one up, and before I can even start doing anything, it says, "Oops, there's an update available. Do you want to download it?" You know, and those things are continually pestering me. If something is sold through the App Store, it will use the App Store's installer, and it will use the App Store's updater, just like on an iPhone, iPod Touch, or an iPad. Anyway, I think that'll be a good part. Now, the thing I don't like about it is I'm hoping that's not the only way to get apps on a Mac. They've not announced that that's going to be true. But knowing the way Apple likes to do things, you know, they sort of like to keep everything in-house, right? And they're already talking about, they've come out with a big list of rules for developers that can start submitting applications to the App Store in November. And one of those rules is you've got to use, you know, Apple's installer. You can't use your own installer. Anyway, I just worry that instead of it being a nice, easy avenue for us to get apps for our Mac, that it becomes the only way to get apps for the Mac, like it is for an iPhone or an iPad, unless you jailbreak it. I don't want to have to jailbreak my Mac, man.
No, I don't think they have to jailbreak it. I think it'll probably have both for a while, but we have to look at the big picture. And the big picture is we're all moving to cloud computing, whether we like it or not, even though these will be on our computer and that doesn't really fall within that realm. I'll tell you what I do like about it. I read an article, and I should have referenced it and brought it up, but it was about Google and the problems that developers are having with Google as far as putting their apps on, and they're slow to bring them on like Apple is. And yeah. I've always thought Apple was the tough one to deal with, so... I'm not sure there.
Well, see, Google's got the opposite problem where developers for Apple have one gatekeeper they have to worry about.
Right.
And it's a very closed, sort of a socialist type model. The Android developers, on the other hand, have no gatekeeper. They operate in complete anarchy, okay?
Right.
They never know what the next screen resolution of the device they're going to be coding for. They never know whether it's going to have this kind of radio or this kind of Bluetooth. They just don't know, you know? So that's a very good point, that while Apple and the App Store has well-publicized problems that we've all heard and talked about those, I don't know that it might not be better for developers to operate under nobody's going to be perfect, but maybe Apple's closed model is the better model.
That's right. They've got those close, real close parameters that they work within, and it does it. But the point that I was going to make was, and that's the pop, you know, we were talking about how many Macs are being sold, and there will be a lot more. You know, you're talking about a whole host of people that have never used a Mac. They've always knew that Windows apps wouldn't work on the Mac, and they've got all the little excuses they heard, you know, from way back of why you wouldn't own one, even though they were nice. They're finally drawn into the store by either the iPad or the iPhone, most likely the iPhone. They get there, and they see these beautiful computers everywhere and all the neat things that they'll do. But it only makes sense to me is with the popularity that they have for the phone, the popularity they have for the iPad, and the way that you get those applications, and a lot of them are little nothing applications. You know that as well as I do, and they're cheap. They're real cheap.
Right.
And I'm excited about that for the Mac. I think that's a, you know, they're just bringing them all together.
Yeah.
That's great, though.
Well, there's a lot to be said for both models. You know me, I'm a jailbreaker. I like to do things that Apple doesn't, quote unquote, approve of. But I can understand being a developer. If I were going to write for a platform and had to pick one right now, I'd have to pick Apple because, number one, my job is infinitely simpler. I don't have to code for 8 different screen sizes, 8 different pieces of hardware, a multitude of processors to work on God knows how many carriers, right? So anyway, as a developer, although you heard a lot of developers complain, but I think they're just kind of squeaky wheels. There have been some millionaires made in that app store. Of course, there's a lot of failures as well, but I think this is having an app store for the Mac is going to really level the playing field for a lot of developers. They're going to get noticed where they never would have before.
I totally agree with you. I think this is it's going to be a great thing. And of course, you and I are going to Macworld in January. Boy, what are we going to see when we get there?
Yeah,
I'm excited about that part. Let me tell you something. If I was a developer, I'd go back to that mall. I understand all the things that you were saying, but if I was had to choose between one, I would go to whatever mall it was and had an Apple store in there. I'd walk in the Apple store and see the gazillion people. Then I'd walk back outside and I'd look at all the little telephone places, and they're all up and down these malls, and see how many people were at those. And I think that would make my decision.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you cannot argue with the fact, even though Google touts that Android is outselling the iPhone, I would not argue with that. I mean, it's like every carrier has 3 or 4 different Android models. So, of course, they're going to be selling more than a single carrier selling a single model, or maybe 2 models phone. But anyway, let's move on. I think you're right. The only thing I worry about with this app store for the Mac is I don't want that to be my only choice.
I don't think it's going to be that way. I don't think it's going to be that way at all. I think it's just a different delivery system than what we currently have. I think we're in the age that we like instant things. It'll be a way to get it to us really quick.
And if it does a good job like the iPhone store did of, they open that app store and instantly it was like a race to the bottom as far as pricing goes. Things got real cheap for us, man. They're giving away stuff. I know stuff that probably thousands of hours of development time in, you buy for 99 cents.
That's exactly right. But look how many people are buying them. But hey, now this, I'm changing up the show notes a little bit, but this leads us into one thing that it was lower on the show notes, but it's a rumor. And of course, I love rumors, and you like them, but you don't like to go around spreading them, and I'm bad. I do. But that's
okay,
about.
Whoop it out.
Verizon Wireless.
Well, here we go. This is our Verizon iPhone rumor du jour, right? How long have we been hearing this? I think it's actually going to happen this time, though.
I think it is, too. In fact, when it first came out and they said that, I gave a big speech to a bunch of people about why it wasn't going to come out and how Apple works and all the rest. Well, I just made a big joke out of myself. I agree. I think that it is going to happen this time.
Yeah, it looks like AT&T is saying all the right things in terms of they're realizing that they're losing their exclusivity. And there was an article at I believe it was Slashdot that I read that AT&T has already come out and one of their PR people said that, no, don't worry. When we lose exclusivity, it's not going to hurt our growth and this, that, and the other. Well, first off, I holler bullshit on that one. It's just like you said when you relayed that story about going into an AT&T store. They have all these other phones there, and what are they selling? They're selling iPhones, right? When they run out of iPhones, they run out of customers. So anyway,
I will tell you something about AT&T. I'm sure that you're the same way I am. The data plan I have is unlimited, and I'm on that old grandfather thing.
Yeah, and don't let it lapse, baby.
Pry my cold, dead, bloody fingers
absolutely
off my data plan.
I am 100% with you there, Hoss. There is no way. Yeah. Don't miss a payment. don't give them an excuse.
I guarantee you, Verizon's not going to have that. And I really and truly, Now, I realize in different parts of the country, phone coverage is different. But where you and I live, overall, AT&T and Verizon are really just about the same. We're not real far from Houston. There are little dead spots in areas. And, of course, my house being one of them.
Yeah, well, I was that way with Verizon, too.
Yeah, that's about it. You could take those two, and they're pretty much equal. But, God, I know people that are so loyal to Verizon. Yeah. And for the life of me, I don't know why.
Well, all you got to do is put an iPhone in your pocket and travel to New York or San Francisco. You'll understand why, because AT&T is suffering from growing pains. This iPhone snuck up behind them and slapped them upside the head. They didn't have any idea that it was going to be the phenomenon that it was, and their network just buckled under the load. So,
But let me tell you something.
You'll see when we go to Macworld. We go to Macworld in January, and you might as well leave that iPhone in the hotel room, Hoss, because it's not going to do you any good with all those Apple geeks wandering around San Francisco at the same time.
Well, they weren't all there when I was there not too long ago, and my phone worked pretty good. But you know what? AT&T has got the experience. They know what to do. Yeah. Verizon's fixing one to get slapped.
Yeah, well, it'll be very interesting if Verizon sees a deluge of iPhone purchases early on to see. It'll be interesting to see how their network holds up under the stress. So anyway, enough about that. Let's get back. No phones, no tablets. Let's get back to the Mac. Now I want to, before I got off of this press event and you mentioned it, I want to talk just a few specifics about these new MacBook Airs. That's the one piece of hardware that they announced. We're going to get a new, it's already out. There's a new MacBook Air. They make two models. One is 11.6-inch screen. That's 2.3 pounds. 1366 by 768 video. It's the NVIDIA 320M accelerator, the same as in the lowest model MacBook Pro and the same that's in the MacBook, with a five-hour battery life. The interesting thing is there is no hard drive option on either of these machines. The two choices you have for the 11.6-inch is either a 64-gig model for $999 or 128-gig model for $1,199. And they don't utilize SSDs. This is different from even like my MacBook Pro over here. I've got a 17-inch. Now, it has an SSD in it, which is basically a lot of flash memory in an enclosure the same size as a hard drive with the same type of hard drive interface. It uses I don't want to get too geeky, but it's got a SATA connection, and I could basically unplug if I wanted to this device after I took my MacBook Pro apart and take out the SSD and plug in a hard drive. No problem. Well, these MacBook Airs are taking a different approach. This flash memory, which is the same flash memory that they incorporate inside an SSD, this flash memory is soldered on the logic board. It's not removable. It's not upgradable. However, that makes it faster. It makes it cooler, makes it more efficient, because the controller doesn't have to go through a hard drive interface to access it. From what I'm seeing, these things with OS X and a full load are booting in about 13 or 14 seconds, which is phenomenal. I thought I was doing great. I've got that SSD in this MacBook Pro. It still takes about 30 seconds to boot. But I saw this done on television the other day on the Fox show in the morning. The guy just got one in, and I forget the gentleman's name, but he's a big Apple geek. And he just got his new Air, and they did it on TV with a stopwatch, and it took just a little over 13 seconds to boot that thing up from power on, which is phenomenal. But anyway, when you decide to buy one of these, buy what you want, because you won't be upgrading it. The only way to change the size of the storage in the device is to change the logic board. So you don't want to be doing that.
No. But likewise, it's got a USB port on it. It's got a couple of USB ports on it. It's got a video out for an external monitor. I think that was the mini. I don't know if that was a mini
display port.
Yeah, the mini display port. Yep. So that you can do. I've never been a fan of the MacBook Air, and it, only because, you know, it just like Apple TV, it was really too early before its time. It was too much of it, and we didn't understand it.
Well, I don't think it was so much that, Kent. I think the technology wasn't there, okay? You had to give up so much for that form factor. Right. To make it thin, right. You had to give up. I mean, the one I bought my daughter had one of those little 1.8-inch hard drives in it because SSDs were just way too overpriced, too expensive. And to get any storage, you had to get a hard drive model. That 1.8-inch, that thing is dog slow. But they could make it thin and light, but also they couldn't put any ports on it. I mean, to make it that thin, you got one USB port. That was it. You know?
But listen, when that thing came out, when you went to go get a movie or anything, you went down and you got a CD for it, right? That's not the problem anymore. Now you rent a movie, you go to iTunes or you go to Netflix, you get it for 99 cents, it plays on your computer and it's done. You know,
the technology has definitely evolved. Also, the mechanism for delivering delivering software has evolved. So anyway, these are a lot more. I would have never considered owning an Air. Now, my daughter loves hers, but it's a fashion statement. You know, I mean, it's the thinnest laptop in the world, right? When she got it. So
that's right.
And you know, she doesn't need to hang all this extra stuff off of it, but, you know, she's running out of room on the hard drive, and, you know, she's running into these things. But she loved it, and don't get me wrong, it's just not for me. For her, all she ever did was email, surf the web, and mess with her photos. So, and there was no problem doing that with the Air other than the storage problem. With these new ones, though, I mean, you got two USB ports, and you can get an external monitor on it, and the battery life on these. Let me mention the second model, the 13.3-inch. It's 2.9 pounds. It has 1440 by 900 resolution. Now, that's some good pixel density, man. That's got to be a beautiful display, although I haven't seen one with my own eyes yet. Same.
And I have, and it is.
Yeah,
it totally is.
It's got to be with that kind of resolution. I mean, it's approaching. I mean, it's not like Retina display on the iPhone, but it's the pixel density. My daughter Catherine's 13.3-inch MacBook Pro is 1280 by 800. So, I mean, this is considerably more pixels on the screen than that, with a 7-hour battery life.
That's the big deal.
Yeah.
and the 7 hours. And you know what? I believe them because those iPads have like battery life forever.
Oh, yeah. Well, and iFixit did what they always do. They got one in, took it apart, and just like the iPad, you take the bottom off of that. They did it on the 11.6-inch. You take the bottom off of it. You know, it's got a little sliver of a logic board there and a speaker here and a fan there, and then the rest of the whole body of the thing is battery. You know, it's got custom-made batteries that are not user-replaceable, of course. But anyway, mention the price here on the 13.3. You have two options, 128 gigabyte storage option for $12.99, and the 256 is $15.99. They're both Core 2 Duos. Starting the 11 starts with like a 1.4 and they go all the way up to like a 2.2 or something like that. Plenty of processor, but this thing is the Air with this version, these versions of the new MacBook Air, these have become viable laptops now, where I think the previous one really wasn't.
I totally agree with you. I don't think that obviously it can't replace your big 27-inch iMac. It's a different animal, or the big standalones that they sell. But it is a alternative to having a MacBook, and especially if you're really mobile. I don't think the MacBooks are heavy anyway if you want to haul one around. But wait till you see one of these things. I mean, they are little.
Yeah.
I mean, just nothing to them. And they have a great display.
I don't even want to see one. I don't want to see one. I don't want to get anywhere within striking distance of one of these things because, you know, I value my marriage and I, I've got five Macs now that I buy family packs of all the software so I can keep mine and my daughter's Macs done, and I'm maxed out. I'm using all five licenses.
I buy family packs too. That is sick. I'm the same exact way. What about Apple? Of course, we're fanboys and we get all excited, and your daughter's probably thinking, oh my God, I hope I never turn into something like this. But isn't it cool that they have taken everything they've got and they've upgraded it, and they've made these interesting things to it? They took the Apple TV and they made this really neat thing out of it. I thought the old one was pretty neat, but the new one is super neat. They've taken the MacBooks and they've changed the MacBooks. They've taken the MacBook Air, and they've really done a job on it. What about the Mac Mini? Man, what a great deal that turned out to be.
They just innovate.
I'm telling you, everybody keeps saying, well, what are they doing? Well, I can tell you what they're doing. They're leaders. They're all the rest of them. And I shouldn't say that, because Google is extremely innovative, and HP is the largest there is. You know, I mean, there's a huge computer company, and Mac and Microsoft. I mean, they're not really they're a software company. But Apple is taking a backseat to no one. They're doing their own thing. They're in their time, and they are going for it. And it's very refreshing.
It's fun to watch. I have to admit, I am completely impressed. I mean, I never in my wildest dreams thought that I would ever stop what I'm doing in the middle of the day to sit down and watch a press event for some new hardware products. But every time Apple does it, it's like, hold my calls. I'm busy. I've got things.
I am exactly the same way. And hey, okay, you talk about a press release. Apple comes out with the stuff that they're doing, and it's a big deal. Hewlett Packard, which is a huge company, just came out with their Slate 500, their iPad thing.
Yeah,
there was hardly a whimper about that thing.
Just a cursory mention. Nobody gives a hoot, right?
Can you believe that? Well, I mean, who is running their public relations or their advertising data?
I think that it's just evidence of they got nothing new to show us. I mean, they're me too-ing. I mean, they're presenting a tablet device, which has already been done, with an operating system that's a year old that everybody's already seen. And everybody already knows won't work worth a hoot on a tablet. I mean, it's not built for touch. So they even said, this is an enterprise device, okay? Well, you're not going to see consumers line up. Me, I like Windows 7. I mean, I got nothing against it. I think it's the best version of Windows to date by far. However, I don't want it on a tablet. I just don't see it.
Hey, the company that I work for, as a big enterprise system, and we have HP stuff everywhere, and we have a little company magazine that comes out once a month, and they have them in regions and stuff like that. Well, the new company magazine came out, and guess what? It showed one of the big shots, and he was holding an iPad.
Yeah. We're definitely, if Apple has any chance at all in the enterprise, it's going to be from customer pull from the top. You'll never get IT people to buy into it. But, I mean, you know, when the CEO or a VP of marketing says, I want an iPhone or I want an iPad, some of those IT folks have to, you know, they have to pucker up and do what he says or she says, whatever.
And you know what else? We've danced around it, and I guess it's such a big thing that we forget about it. But Apple's the one that came up with all these small apps, the App Store, and all these. But look what a impact it has made on the whole industry to have those apps.
Yeah.
And the things that they can do, and they're just little, you know, they're not big intricate things. I'm just totally impressed by them.
Gone are the days. There's just very few of them left. Of the Microsofts and the Adobes of the world, who try to be release a product that it's a one size fits all. I think more and more the model is a small app to fit a specific need, and Apple has capitalized on that. And I don't know that they really intended to. I mean, the App Store was their idea. I think it's just sort of the natural evolution of the way things get done. You know, you don't need a Microsoft Word that does everything from desktop publishing to, you know, you'll have one guy, yeah. he wants to write movie scripts. So you've got an editor for that. You got another guy, all he wants to do is take plain text notes and sync it up. There's an app for that. That, you know, it's just the way of things. So
that is exactly right. And you know what? Not everyone sits down and does a full spreadsheet every time that they get on the computer.
Yeah.
That, like we used to way back. Some people, and I would say the majority of people, we discuss this. All they do is surf the web. Hey, they got things for that. I agree with you 100%. I think that I don't think we've seen it all. And I'm going to tell you something else. I don't think you and I have not grasped yet. And that's this ping deal. We've laughed about it, and it doesn't bother. You know, it doesn't seem to fit in for you and I. There's a big picture for that thing too. We just hadn't figured out how it works. I mean, they turned us off and they put Lady Gaga on our deal.
Let's ask an expert, Catherine. Have you used Ping yet?
I don't know what it is.
I rest my case.
Yeah.
She don't even know what it is. Okay,
that's all right. So, she will. Who would have ever thought?
I don't believe you. So anyway, we'll agree to disagree about that one. Okay. Yeah.
Well, all seven people out there listening to this thing, y'all just remember I said it.
Okay. On to more pressing things. Covered that event to death. I'm going to hit these real close, real quickly, because we're getting close on time. According to TUAW, Apple in their earnings call said that they've sold 250,000 Apple TVs. Okay, not setting the world afire, but I think that's doing a lot better than the original Apple TV when it launched. I don't know that for a fact, but I think so.
Oh, I'd tell you right now, it's probably more than they sold of all the Apple TVs, but
perhaps.
Can you believe that? 250,000 in 6 weeks?
Yeah.
I think it's a big deal. I mean, when the iPhone launched, you're talking about a little Apple TV that you put on your TV with a lot of competition out for it.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, they're banging up against Roku and Boxy and now the Google TV. You know, Logitech announced that their box that's going to run Google TV. And of course, Google's running into the same problems Apple did and everyone else does. It's all about licensing the content providers. Nobody wants to put their stuff on the box. So anyway, we'll see. But 250,000, I would say, I'm not going to go out on a ledge and say that it's a commercial success yet. But I will say that it's probably enough to keep the manufacturing plant in China up and running for at least a while longer. So
yeah, well, they weren't planning on making a ton of money. There's no real big margin in that thing. That was that's all about selling those.
All about renting movies,
selling the apps, and selling the movies.
Yeah, anyway, another iOS 4 device, and come on with an app store for that. Okay, next. According to MacRumors.com, iSupply says that they project there will be over 120 million iPads sold by the end of 2012. Now, that's awful bold talk. 120 million. Where are we now? About 10 million thereabouts in the first 6 months?
Like 2 weeks. I have sold a zillion of those things, and they're not even in business yet. I know we beat that horse to death. I'm not even going to go into it. I believe that figure. I think that's going to be a legitimate thing.
Well, good on them. Hey, man, like I said, good on them. Keep on going, Apple.
You got the pack, the rest of the pack. They're all coming out with something in there.
But I mean, no, they're talking about these are iPad sales. This is not other tablets. They're projecting iPads. Well, there will be 120 million of those things in 26 months from now. So, like I said, I'm not certain that I believe that, but that's what they project, and I'll take their word for it. But it's interesting to see someone coming out and making a bold claim like that. Speaking of Apple selling things, the iPhone passed RIM the last quarter in global smartphone shipments. That's according to loopinsight.com. And it wasn't real close either. It was like 13.8 to 12.5 million iPhone versus Blackberries, respectively, sold in the last quarter. RIM better do something, get off the stick, huh?
Yeah, but I have to tell you one thing about it, and you know them just like I do. There's a bunch of people that still have BlackBerries, and they're like, they'll give it up when they pry their cold, dead fingers off their.
That's true. I mean, they've got an install base. They've got they're entrenched in the enterprise. This isn't saying that RIM's going away anytime soon. What it is saying is iPhone just outsold them for the first quarter ever. So. Anyway, so it was newsworthy. Another thing that was newsworthy is Apple thumbed their nose at Adobe one more time. They're releasing these new MacBook Airs with no Flash player on them, man. No Flash at all. That has been part of OS X's install as long as I can remember. And yet they come out with this new product. No Flash. Sorry, Adobe. You know, if a user wants it, they got to go get it themselves.
I don't know what to think about that. I mean, Jobs does his own thing. He goes his own way, and he does the right thing. So, I don't know.
I say
you know,
terrific.
I don't think Flash is necessarily a bad thing. My God, I use it all over my Macs. And you can get on the new on the MacBook Air, you know, Adobe came out and they said that's probably a good thing that they don't have it on there so that you can go to Adobe and get the latest the latest version.
Well, you look on the screen right now. I don't use Flash unless I absolutely have to. And you look at the screen here, I use an add-in to Safari that knocks it off. I mean, you got to click on it to make Flash work just because two-thirds of all the Flash stuff on the internet are ads.
Right.
So I just leave Flash turned off in my browser all the time just because, you know, it loads faster without it. So now.
So do you think that's the way Jobs figures that with his iAds will be?
Well, it's obviously he's come full circle. Not on the iPhone, not on the iPad, and now not on the Mac. So,
and they are big thinkers over there. There's no doubt about it.
Well, Adobe, Apple is now with 10% of the market share, wields a big enough stick to do those sorts of things and not worry about losing customers. I mean, it hasn't affected their iPhone or iPad sales, not one iota, obviously. So anyway, one more sharp stick stuck in Adobe's eye. So next... the new data center for Apple in Maiden, North Carolina. Now, this is a 500,000 square foot data center is due to come online any day now, and that's from datacenternews.com. I know that's not a publication or a website many people read, but I'm an IT geek, so I sort of pay attention to those things. Actually, I think TUAW did pick up the story and quoted them, but. They've got a nice aerial view of this data center that, 500,000 square feet, you can hold lots of servers in that. They got, I see two big tanks for cooling water. They're going to be crushing some bits, no doubt about it.
Yeah, you think we're going to have some cloud computing now?
Well, I think you're going to be serving media, personally. I think that's what all this is about.
You think that's what it is?
Yeah, I think they sell a bazillion Apple TVs and iPod touches and iPads and iPhones and with no Flash. And so other sites are maybe a little slow to come around to the video. So you get your video and your content from Apple. And I still continue to think when they purchased that Lala group that one of these days, sooner rather than later, I hope that they'll have an all-you-can-eat content model, much the same way as the Zoom does, that you pay a standard fee per month, download anything you want. As long as you're up to date, you can listen to that music all you want, whatever you want, as frequently as you want. So, but you got to have some, with all the iPods out there and iPhones and iPads and Macs, you got to have some horsepower to serve up all that media, especially when you start talking about high-definition video.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think you're right. I do think it's interesting about one thing. This has come out, or we make it, well, you got it within this last week, at the same time that Microsoft's guy, I cannot think of what the man's name is, that was basically over cloud computing, that had pushed cloud computing, left Microsoft.
Ozzy.
At the same time. What's his name?
Ray Ozzy.
Yes, right. He left it this, you know, at the same time that Apple's building this humongous building, and they're going to build two of them.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's more. Isn't that ironic?
Well, he had a big long diatribe, too, about, you know, it was sort of a, you know, bye-bye Microsoft, here's what's wrong with your company kind of thing, and the reasons he left. So, and we'll get into that a little more next week. That just popped up here a day or so ago, and I read it.
Yeah, but it is ironic. It all came out at the same time. I just think, I mean, they're not connected. I know they're not connected, but it's pretty cool.
Right. Well, he just said in brief, and I'm not even paraphrasing here. This is just my impression of the flavor of what he said, is that you guys got to quit thinking about shrink wrap software and desktop computers. You know, the world is there is a post PC world emerging out there, and you're not doing anything to position yourselves, no matter how much I scream about it. So adios, you know, AMF, I'm gone. So yeah,
that's exactly that. There's about but you did a good job summing it up. He was duking out with another division. They basically won, and his biggest fan is Gates, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
and of course Gates is not there.
Yeah, he's too busy curing malaria in Rwanda. So anyway, yeah, that's right. Ozzy lost his sponsor, and there's a lot of talk. A lot of people said for a long, long time that he was the smartest man behind Gates in that whole company. So it'll be interesting to see. God help them,
where,
man. God help them if Microsoft, if Ballmer's all they got, right? I mean, that's a sad state of affairs.
Let me tell you something. That guy's not stupid.
I don't think he's stupid.
He's like employee number, 15 or 13?
Yeah, right.
Something weighed in there. And he's obviously a very wealthy man. And he's a sharp guy. It's just that they are a software company, and Apple, I don't know what you describe Apple anymore, because they make a lot of hardware, but my God, they've turned into a media.
Yeah, but you see, and this is a lot what Ozzy said, there's a big difference between being intelligent and being visionary, okay? Steve Jobs dropped out of college, so did Gates, but they were visionaries. Right. You know, they were the guys that saw the path forward. And I don't think Ballmer's that guy. I think he's real good at crunching numbers and doing some things real well, but I don't put him in Gates category, and I certainly don't put him in Jobs category. So.
I think Jobs is, you know, there's very few of those kind of people that come along, and you're right, and Jobs is not going to be there.
Not forever, no.
The rest of the time. And what's going to happen to Apple when, and of course that's been discussed, you know, beat to death too. But right, poor Ballmer, he is competing against Jobs, and there's very few people.
The day I hear Jobs is no longer with Apple that's the day I sell my stock. Okay,
yeah.
Not because I think the company is going to sink. I just think that he is the vision behind the business, and he is all you got to do is, we've got data points that shows what happens when he's there and what happens when he's not, right?
Well, so, and this brings up to our one of our things, and that was our Steve watch, and it was on John Sculley, who at one time was the CEO of Apple. He's the one when the board booted, they didn't boot Jobs. What they did was they chose CEO, they chose Sculley to run the company instead of Jobs,
right?
And then Jobs left. It was a rough time for him, but that's when he really bloomed.
Yeah,
it's probably what made him what he is today. But if you hadn't read this, you need to. We got it from cultofmac.com, and it's extremely interesting. You would think there was a lot of friction between these two guys.
Oh,
you would think that Sculley would hold some grudges against him, and he doesn't. You know, Sculley didn't come from a computer background. Sculley was a CEO. He was an accomplished CEO. He came from Pepsi.
Yeah.
And the guy knew how to run a company.
Well, you know, one of the and speaking of that, before we get too far into this, the best line, and this just goes to show you how Jobs can influence people, and one of the best lines that Sculley relayed that Jobs said in this whole interview, when Jobs was trying to recruit Sculley early on, was, you want to sell sugar water the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You know, which, you know, I mean, you talk about distilling all arguments down to the lowest common denominator with one sentence, and he did it. And Scully went to Apple, and he was a very effective officer for the company, and the board chose him. And I think they were just afraid that Apple was too young, too wild, and too shoot from the hip. So it turned out to be a huge mistake.
Look at the sales when Scully had it. They went up tremendously.
Yeah.
He was responsible for a lot of good things. But, what he says in this article is that, really, he should have never been there. It should have been Jobs all along. He's a fanboy, too. You know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how can you not be?
And even though he mentioned that Steve won't talk to him, he came right out and said it. He thinks the board made a mistake by choosing him over Jobs. And the only reason I put these Steve Watch things in here is to let people know there's some very interesting reading, history behind Apple, and this is the first time Scully has come out in public and spoken about his experience. So I found it very interesting and entertaining and revealing. And there's one more on Bloomberg.com. They have a series where they do video biographies for business leaders. And the one for this month is on Steve Jobs, and that's at Bloomberg.com. It's not anything new or nothing that I didn't know, but Bloomberg did a real good job of doing about a half hour synopsis of Steve Jobs' career, and it's worth a listen, so worth a look. So. With that, man, we're running low on time, but I did want to get my software pick in, and I'm doing this shooting right from the hip because I haven't spent a ton of time with it, but it's such a great value that I can't not recommend it, and that's iLife 11. Folks, especially if you've got more than a couple of Macs for $79, this is a ton of software. I mean, iLife comes packaged with every new Mac. You get iMovie, you get iPhoto, you get iDVD, iWeb. What am I leaving? GarageBand. Thank you. All this for $79, you will not find a better value. And that's for five licenses. Now,
I totally agree.
One license, a single license is $49, and there ain't any copy protection on it. I'm not telling you to do anything illegal, but you could if you were a dishonest scumbag that didn't feel like compensating people for their hard work. You could buy a single $49 copy and install it on as many Macs as you want. So, however, the family pack is an excellent value, and they've done some really good things. We've talked about some of those earlier in the show. That go to apple.com/iLife and give it a look-see. They got lots of video tutorials and all their ad campaigns up there on the site. I think the new iMovie is phenomenal. That's the one I've really played with a lot. They have done an excellent job of allowing you to edit the audio, and now you can get your timeline back. And we'll talk about that next week. I read an article of this reverts back to the days of iMovie, back when it was iMovie HD, where it had the timeline at the bottom with the audio and all that. That's the way I was accustomed to editing video clips, and it doesn't come configured that way by default, but it's just a couple of little settings changes, and you can make it look that way again, and we'll talk about that next week. But my software pick of the week is iLife 11 from Apple.
That sounds like a good deal, and aren't we going to – I know we have limited time, but our guest was going to give us a couple of her picks.
Yes. I have and I got to tell you, man, I have never heard her this quiet in the 11 years she's been living with me.
Hey, don't make her mad.
No, I'm not.
I'm just tuning in our podcast just to hear her at the very first.
I know it. That's when most people they listen to her introduction and then they just, you know, fast forward to the end. So or just cut us off altogether. So
she's gonna be a media star or a geek or something like that.
Well, you know, every father wants to chip off the old block, and this is my last chance, man. She's my others are grown and you know, one's out of college, the other one's a senior in college, and they didn't do it. So this is my last shot. So I keep throwing Apple stuff her way, hoping that she'll catch fire like I did. But anyway, what we wanted to do, Catherine, is ask you about a couple of your favorite iPhone games and what do you like on the iPhone?
I prefer more just kid-like games since I am a kid. I can't pick my favorite one, but the top three that I like are the top three that are on top paid and pretty sure top grossing for the iPhone at least is Angry Birds.
That's a favorite.
That's also for iPad. Cut the Rope, which I'm not sure. It's a pretty new game. And
what's that, Cutthroat?
Cut the Rope.
Oh, yeah. I've read about that.
That's a biggie. Hey, put her on there so we can see her.
Oh, yeah. Jeez. What am I doing here?
Hey, I'm going to give you some advice.
Man, you need to.
Don't let him talk
to you. I am completely asleep at the switch.
I know it. We've got all the looks here in the studio.
Well, I get lazy. I've got this one camera angle, and it usually works for everything except when I want to put a screenshot. I'm sorry. I'm depriving the world of your adorable little face. Go ahead.
We'll just change your name to Bieber and make a star.
Yeah. Please continue. So it's Angry Birds, Cut the Rope, and?
And first on top paid and top grossing is Angry Birds Halloween. Basically the same thing as Angry Birds with the Halloween theme.
Oh, so they just changed the things you knock down to the bird. Does the bird wear any nothing different? Just it's same just, old Angry Birds.
It's just a dollar gimmick. So
so another way to make you spend 99 cents.
Mm-hmm.
But are those your very favorite ones, or is there a very, very favorite one that you use all the time, that you play all the time?
That'd probably be Angry Birds. And yeah. I just... before the show, I got Angry Birds Halloween trying it out. That released on the 16th of October. So,
well, you know, I gave her that iPhone, her other one. What happened was, you remember we had the show when I did the show was titled My House is a Cell Tower when I got the micro cell.
Right. Well, I got one too.
I didn't realize the phone that she had was not a 3G phone. So here I am walking around the house with my iPhone. I got five bars, right? And she was still stuck with, I can't remember what kind. You remember what that green phone was called?
LG Neon.
Oh, yeah, the LG Neon. It's the one, the bright neon color. It's built for texting, man. You know, it's all about texting. But anyway, this is a feature phone, but it wasn't 3G. I didn't realize that. So anyway, I'm walking around with all this great signal. She still can't call anybody or text anybody. So
I think that right there is a good purpose for go ahead and call Child Protective Services.
Yeah, I'm an abusive parent. Anyway, so I gave her one of my, it's a hand-me-down, but gave her an iPhone, and now she's got a MacBook Pro now and an iPhone, and she watches Apple TV with me, so she is a Mac girl.
And she doesn't look like a geek either. That's the weird thing. I don't know what's wrong with her.
Well, like I said, I keep trying for a chip off the old block, but... you know, they come to their senses eventually. I don't know what's wrong.
I know. I got two daughters, and they're big Apple users, but they're not a chip off the old block. They're smart.
All right, man. Well, Catherine, thank you so much for sitting in and listening to a couple old farts like Ken and I go on and on about things that you don't even care about.
Well, I hope she plans on doing it again sometime, aren't you?
I guess.
Oh, we want you.
Well, I'm going to catch her, and you know, we've been if you couldn't tell, we pre-record those intros for the show, and she did such a great job with that, and she got such a nice voice, and besides, I just like, you know, she's getting to that age where I can't corner her. I haven't sat next to her for this long, other than being trapped in a car together and longer than I can remember. So it's been kind of nice for a father to have my daughter sitting here.
Well, and then from my perspective, till she came along, Joe, I've been the eye candy of this whole thing.
Well, that's true.
That means I was the good looking one. Yeah. But now I'm not.
So. Yep. Yep. You got a mud hole stomped in your ass. Yeah.
Anyway, I appreciate all the stuff that she does, and I appreciate all the stuff that her father does too. So,
well, thank you so much, Ken. And Catherine, thanks for joining us. And we will have you on as frequently as you would like.
I think that's a great idea.
So, with that, to both my daughter and my amigo, Senior Mitchell, I'm going to say www.mactexan.com. I'm Joe at mactexan.com. He's Ken at mactexan.com. Yep. And Catherine, we're going to get you a Mac Texan email address just so you'll have one.
Well, what will she be? Will she be Catherine, or will she be Catfish?
Well, no, I think if I put Catfish on there, that she wouldn't use it. So we'll probably make Catherine anyway. And we do have a special email address for questions. If anyone would like to write in, we would be happy to address any questions you have.
Or we love questions and comments.
Yeah, or just a comment. Tell us what a bunch of idiots we are. Or agree with us. That's good, too. Okay. So, anyway... Thanks to Kelly Data for sponsoring this. Thanks to my lovely wife for putting up with me. And with that, now I'll say, vaya con Dios, amigos.
Hey, adios, buddy. We'll see you next week. Catherine, same to you.